Welcome to the Geek Psychology Podcast. This podcast comes from the Geek Psychology YouTube channel, where we use personality type and geek and gaming culture to help you play life better. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being you. And I hope you enjoy the show. INFP and ESFP stream, talking to my bestest of friends, Corey Raven. So we're going to get into a little bit about personality type and also his career, his decisions as to become a photographer, and kind of different aspects of life in general. This is going to be a very casual conversation, and that's good because we're good friends. I don't know where it's going to go, but if you give some questions and stuff like that, then you can help feed the conversation and direct it to where you want to be. There you are.
I am here. I just opened up the chat and I'm only half here now.
You're half here?
Yeah, the chat covers up my entire screen.
No. Well, I'll let you know if
people come. I don't have to see myself anyway. Hello, Travis Bickle.
Travis is saying hello. Hello, Travis. Everyone, just, yeah, kind of write hello. Where are you coming from? Where
are
you
from?
Oh, no. I was bigger than you. So just, you know, say hello, post, communicate. Corey, you are in Canada.
I am
in Japan. So far away now. So far away. I'm Canada Crombie. Oh. I didn't know. I thought you were pointing.
Yeah. No, I was hiding this. I bought this one when I wasn't in Canada.
Yeah. So just as a little background, Corey and I have known each other since 2010. Yeah, 2010, 2011, 2010.
I can't do dates.
Yeah.
I can't do years. I've known you forever.
There you go, that's how forever. Yes. We met in Nagoya, in Japan, and we've lived together, we've worked together, we've laughed together, we've cried together, we've had some great adventures, and we're just going to talk a little bit about just personality type and the direction that we've both gone in our lives, and seeing if that has some aspects to do with personality type and stuff as well. Is there anything you want to say before we get started with all of this?
I don't know. Do I need to do a self introduction, or will it just come
out? Do it.
In the desk. All right. As you said, my name is Corey Raven. I recently just moved back to Canada. Up until April 1st of 2021, dates last year. I lived in Tokyo with Matt. Well, not with him, but in close proximity to Matt.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was there for 16 years total. And became a photographer within the last 8 years. And that's now led me back to Canada to pursue that. So
how long have you been doing photography?
It's
blurred in now. I don't.
It's on and off. Like it's a lot. It's been kind of intertwined into my life through like just different times. Like in high school, I took photography, and I know how to go into a black room and make prints and stuff, but I had no intention of ever becoming a photographer. Yeah. I've worked up in the Northwest Territories, near east of Alaska kind of stuff. And I bought just a nice little Olympus outdoor camera, and I took so many pictures over a year, and and then nothing for another, 5 years, and then got into videography and bought a really nice camera, and then started using it to take pictures as well. And then that was kind of the last step when I was like, oh, I actually think I like this. And then I kept doing it.
Was there something that changed? Like, was there a moment that you were actually like, this is it. This is what I like. I mean, because before it sounded like a lot of, like it was an underlying theme, mm-hmm. right? But it wasn't actually something that you're like, you made a decision about, you know?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I feel like I was incepted by it throughout my life. like even as a child, there was a guy named Bruno who used to rent the basement suite in our house. And he's actually like a world famous photographer in Canada. Yeah. Okay. Like, and he used to babysit us and stuff and is a huge part of my childhood and never even really, you know, I'm just kind of steeped in it a little bit.
Right.
So why did I make the switch? It's mildly complicated, I guess. Like I bought the camera to start doing videos with AJ, as you know, our mm-hmm. other friend of the
ENFP
past.
Friend, yeah.
ENFP. That didn't last very long. I think we stopped after maybe a couple of months, but I'd invested. I bought the camera for shooting. We're going to do a YouTube channel and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I started taking like time-lapse photos. And then I realized that I was just taking like thousands of pictures of one singular thing when I could just take one picture and leave.
Okay.
I was like, all right, well, screw time-lapses. I'm just going to take one photo and be a photographer and I'll be good. And that's kind of where it went. And then I guess I just kind of followed the dopamine a little bit and started collecting photography stuff. And then I started building a studio in my own house. And kind of took off from there.
Nice.
And just, it was pretty organic. It was more of a, oh, I'm a photographer rather than, ooh, I want to be a photographer.
Right. It was just something that you were kind of like already doing in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were some incentives as well. Like, the freedom of being a photographer, like it's a viable profession. Right. So it's like, doesn't just have to be a hobby. It can be a job, or not a job, but it can be a lifestyle rather.
Mm.
And I don't have to do other stuff against my will.
That's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
I hear good things.
That's the goal, right?
Yeah. And just to kind of piggyback off of that, first, hey everybody, I see you guys are saying hi. Welcome. To kind of piggyback off of that, freedom, I know, is extremely important for ESFPs.
Humans?
Humans too. Yes. But like, and me myself, you know, as well, like as an NP, so perceivers and stuff, like when we start to feel like we have less options, we like dramatically push away from it and go to the other side of like, well, I need to have the freedom, and in your case, probably the freedom to physically do the things that you want to do, to be in the location that you want to be in, to kind of keep things exciting, right? Keep things moving.
For sure.
And it's like, as you said, like everybody does have all these different aspects within them. But it's kind of like, how much importance do we put on these things? Right. And you know, like AJ as well, and myself too, like I've moved countries because I started to feel like things are getting a little restricting or getting a little stale. Let me just like go somewhere else to shake things up. And some of that was also because, like, you know, I had a girlfriend, things were not really going the way that I wanted. So I was like, oh, this is kind of restricting. And that's not necessarily like the most mature way of going about it, but that is what happened. But so is there anything like that brings to mind, anything about freedom that you want to talk about
with photography?
With photography or just
your Well, it was actually, so that's kind of the other, that incentive that I was talking about as well. Like over the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years or so, like I lived in Tokyo, but I came back to Canada every year for either Christmas or there's been a lot of weddings and stuff in my family lately as well. And like, I got a bit of that like FOMO of life feeling a little bit at the beginning, like, cause yeah, I would come back for the big events. Like everybody's together, everybody's partying, and it's always the most glorious 10 out of 10 vacate. Like, and so in my mind, like I kind of, encapsulated that, and just my brain went, well, when I'm in Canada, it's always like this. So it's like, when I leave, you guys just keep doing this every day, right? Like, and so like, and it wasn't FOMO, but it was more of a, like, I definitely felt the heartstrings pulling, like, cause I do love my family, like extended and close as well. And photography, even though like I was already pursuing it because I enjoy it, I love the creation and the art of it. But it did kind of dawn on me that if I was a full-time professional photographer, like I don't have borders, I don't have an office, I can go anywhere and do it anywhere. And the original plan was to do like a part-time Japan, part-time Canada, and travel around. And so that was one of the reasons I started really thinking about, all right, well, what do I need to do to take this to the next level? How do I become a pro? How do I make money doing photography? And that's actually more where the studio photography came into play, with the people, right? So like there are the two realities where it's like everybody and anybody can take a really nice landscape photo or a nature photo or whatever, right?
The only pictures I take, pictures of buildings and stuff.
Exactly. And they all look really nice. Like it's really easy to be a good amateur photographer and take really nice photos. And so to go into that, is not easy, right? How do you set yourself apart from a world where every single person has a phone in or a camera in their pocket, rather, right? And so then my brain went, all right, well, people will pay me to take pictures of them. That's guaranteed, right? So if I'm good at taking pictures of people, there's money, right? There's like, feed the ego, right? Like everybody wants a picture of themselves. Everybody loves themselves. Sure. Yeah. Or memories or whatever. There's a million reasons to have a photo of yourself or your family or someone taken, right? Professional or otherwise.
Yeah.
So in my mind, that seemed like a better option, right? The portrait people photos. So then I dove in head first and here I am back to taking pictures of nature, oddly enough. thanks to COVID,
because you don't have a choice, right?
I don't have a choice, right? Yeah. So like I came back to Canada thinking that, oh, I did it, I made it, and then it was like, oh yeah, by the way, you're not allowed to come in contact with other humans. It's like, all right. Anyway,
is that I have a question. Hold on. I'm just going to put it on this. I don't know if you can see that.
I can. How do I get rid of this other thing though?
I don't know what that other thing is, but, so Beck is asking, like, I type most often as an INFP, but a few times I've come out as ESFP. How can I tell which is me? I think there's a lot to unpack within yourself. If you go into the cognitive functions, if you like really dive into what is extroverted sensing, what is extroverted intuition, and where do they fall within your personality type, you'll probably quickly understand which is which. But the reason I'm bringing this question up right now is because you were talking about, you know, you went to Canada with the intention of, you know, peopling and taking mm-hmm. pictures of people and stuff like that. For me, like, yes, the COVID situation has been awful and everything like that. But like, I'm happy just being in my room alone by myself all day, every day. Now I have a family, right? So like, I have to create time where I go be by myself intentionally. And it's a lot of time. And I feel that it's actually probably not enough time. But from like my wife's perspective and a lot of other people's perspectives, they're like, you want to be alone again? You want more alone time? I'm like, I need it. I need it so bad. And you know, everybody, once again, everybody has these different aspects and stuff like that. But it's like, how much is necessary for you to feel like yourself? Right. And for with extroverted sensing, for like you as an ESFP, like it doesn't have to be just peopling. It's getting experiences in the outer world. And
yeah,
people give a lot of experiences. People will shake things up all the time. Right. And it's like a catalyst, like a compounding factor. Right. Like if you throw people into the mix, something different, something wild is going to happen. And that's going to satisfy the need to be present, to be in the moment, to experience your body, your senses, right? And as you know, like that's not the world that I spend a lot of time in. I mean, like I got lost the other day just walking around my house. I've been here for 6 years. Like that's just pretty bad, right? I'm definitely not in the sensory realm. And I also noticed that I'm getting really pale and pastier as the sun is coming out. So there we go. Anyway, do you have any thoughts about that?
Literally because of the lighting in your room.
Because yeah, I got the window open.
I got you. You're like, yeah, I just don't get out enough, so I'm super white.
That too.
Well, you got to be careful, man. You got to hit a tanning salon before you go to the beach this year.
yeah. Just you have to tell everybody. I get like almost third degree burns every year because I don't know. I put on lotion, but then I don't put enough on or something, and it's always bad. Like I had I don't know. I don't need to get into it too much, but it's been bad every year.
Yeah. I was just reminding you while I remember too.
And yes, Beck, I am an INFP, and Corey is an ESFP. Do you have any thoughts about that, about
the need bling? Yeah, I guess I live almost in the opposite realm. Like, so I don't have a family. I don't have a wife. I don't have kids. And so my natural, well, so I'm kind of back at home now, but my natural state, even in Tokyo, right, was I was alone all the time everyday life. And so then I would then have to go out and seek experiences to make sure, because the longer I'm alone, the more and more I go inside myself and I don't want to be there and I need to get out and I need to at least talk to somebody like that. As you know, like if you get me, well, when we live together, right? If I could get you in a doorway and talk to you forever, and then, are you going to go back into your room now? Like, sure you don't want to talk about more stuff until 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. I do. And there's a difference between with whom someone is talking to. Like, as an introvert, like, we're usually very selective of the people that we let in because I kind of have mapped you. Like, I know what to expect from Corey in a lot of ways. And it's not going to throw this like huge curveball that's going to make me re-question everything about myself and all these inner pieces and stuff like that, right? So there's a difference. There's different levels of threshold with dealing with people, but sorry if I
So it is really that, like, listening to you give your explanation, I was like, oh, I'm perfectly the opposite. Like, in that sense, like, even like down to the scenario, like just the existence, like the lifestyle, right? Like you live in a house with other people. I technically lived with AJ, but right in Tokyo, but I never saw him. Like, I'd go weeks without seeing him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's always doing his own thing.
Yeah.
And I'm doing my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Schedules are different. But yeah, interesting. No, I love, but at the same time, I do selectively choose those people. I cannot stand being in a room with someone I don't like, or I can't. Like, there are many, many people that do rub me the wrong way just because I can't have that conversation with them, or like, I'm not good at banter. I'm not good at small talk, right? Like, I have to care about what you're going to say to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to ask you how's the weather. I'm not going to ask you a question that I don't care about the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something I'm starting to realize.
Yeah.
It's
a necessity sometimes, but it's,
it is a necessity, but it is very interesting. And I've been told that I'm very cold and stuff like that quite often because
really,
like, well, because not cold, but like blunt, I guess. Cause I'll go, no, I don't care. Like, I don't want to have this conversation. Like, this does not interest me. Like, so I'm not going to have it.
Mm-hmm.
We have another friend who prodded me in that way a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many names we can drop in here, but like,
it's just keep it as few as necessary.
Yeah. Like fishing for conversation, right? Like, people coming up to you and be like, hey man, how was your weekend? And I'll go, it's all right.
Yeah.
And then they're sitting there waiting for me to ask the question back, because really their entire intention was
conversation works.
Their intention was that they wanted to talk about their weekend, but I'm not going to ask because I don't care. Right?
Yeah.
I'll talk about other stuff for sure, because like, I do care about other things, but I don't care about that topic specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a weird thing.
Well, I mean, I think it also has to do with, well, yes, the people and the experiences and the relationships that you have with that person, but also, you know, if I'm going to a little ham-fistedly put personality type on top of it, like, we both share introverted feeling, which is this way of making decisions that's assessing and evaluating everything on how much do I like this thing or dislike it. It's like just a constant spectrum of like, do I like this? Do I not like it? And to what scale and what level, what degree of that? Mm. And if it's something that we don't like, we just won't do it.
Mm.
Like,
100%.
There's a lot less of that feel of like, well, this is how the culture is. This is how we're supposed to socialize. This is what people expect. Instead of, it's like, but I don't want to. This is me. This is what I want to do. And it's like, it's not selfish necessarily, but it is self-focused at the start. Like, from there, there's also a lot of like, and I'm sure you know this within photography, is like, finding that like human point within us that's like some strong emotion or whatever it is, and then finding that within somebody else and like nurturing that within somebody else. That comes from finding it within ourselves first and then saying like, oh, this person's probably in this kind of situation right now, or this is how I could get them into the mood or the state or whatever it is that I want. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, like, it's, that is that is the other side of it. So like I was saying, it's like, so for example, like that person that's trying to fish for me to ask them how their weekend was, like I might not talk about or want to talk about their weekend, but I'm happy to talk to that exact same person a lot about a different topic that we can both vibe on, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing is within the studio when I'm talking to models that I've never met before or whatever. I don't go, hey, how's your day? Like, how's this and this and this? I try to find a common ground that we can both talk about. And I do take that upon myself to find, right? I don't leave it up to them to try to talk to me. I go, hey, let me poke and prod until I figure out, you know, something that we both like, which is nice. Cause then you do, once you're on that level, then you get along, right?
Yeah. There's a kind of a phrase, a little quote, like, I'm going to butcher it, so I'm not even going to say it, but I'll kind of talk about it. basically, like, for conversation skills, especially, you know, this is something that a lot of us introverts, you know, research on and stuff like that, which, as you know, but like to have a good conversation with another person, like, just get into the mindset of like, this person is the most amazing person in the world. Like, let me find out more about this person. Let me delve into like, who is this person? And just be full of curiosity about that individual. Yeah. Right. And then you create the conversation that is exciting or interesting or whatever it is. And you start to see all these different facets of that other person.
So. Yeah. Like I don't even want to call it a tactic. Like, it's just a reality of conversation that works for me on that same plane is actually, trying to find something that they might be able to teach me. Right. Like I'm going to keep jumping to models that I meet because that's kind of the topic at hand. But they're all very talented people at a lot of different things, right? Lots of them are dancers and singers and fitness people and whatever, right? And a lot of those topics do interest me, so I can just keep asking questions and, ooh, how do you do? Ooh, what's this? It's actually something that every time I do it, I can hear Ben in my own head. Because he always clicks with me as like the eternal learner. Like, oh, what's that? Tell me more.
Yeah.
Right.
Go on. I'll just tag that.
So I always kind of bring out my inner Ben but it actually feeds me because I'm also now getting the conversation that I'm interested in.
So actually I wanted to bring up Ben before, just based off one of the threads, but like Ben, our friend Ben is older than us by like
quite a bit. Maybe. I think he's in his early, I think he just turned 50.
Okay. So yeah, over 10 years, and he's an ESTP, and you two were very close, right? Very good friends.
Yeah.
Still are, but you know, when you guys lived in proximity of each other, live in different countries now. And you said Ben's an eternal learner, and as an ESTP, whereas you're an ESFP, like this, the TP aspect is introverted thinking. And that's like the little scientist within people, right? And like anybody, I would think anybody that has TP in their type code would consider themselves to be an intellectual in some way. And he is. Like, he's, yes.
Yeah.
But he's also the
dean of a high school now.
Well, there you go. Yeah. But also he's totally an extroverted sensor, like the ESP aspect, right? He needs that physical freedom. He's very present in the moment. Like, he was in a punk band and stuff like that. Like, he's got all these aspects of himself that are like tied to either adrenaline or like physical sensations and things like that. But
he's a go getter. He's a go doer.
Yeah, he is. Okay. Let me just kind of look over into the comments a little bit. So I see this question here from Sam. How has MBTI helped you guys figure out who you were and what to do with your life? So Corey, I'm kind of teaching Corey here, teaching you. I'm talking to a bunch of people at the same time right now, right? Right. I'm kind of teaching you about personality type as we're going through this, because it hasn't been one of the things that we've talked about in depth too much. We've done like profiling, and I've brought it up because it's something that's really important to me that I just always think about. Yeah. For me, it's been a lot of acceptance over who I am, and like, I'm not broken. Okay. Like, other people actually just think differently. And I'm not flawed in some way by being an intuitive, which like 75% of the population is a sensor. So like, it's kind of puts you into this different spectrum of how you see reality, and just being in ideas and speculation all the time and things like that, instead of like in the tangible, physical, real world. And just a lot of the different personality quirks and aspects of myself, I found more acceptance and self-love. And also like the, which I think is a lot connected to you, like the desire to do something around my innate talents based off my personality type in a career. Like the ability to create ideas that explain people and kind of templatize that in a way, so that other people can learn about themselves and explore who they are on a deeper level and stuff like that, is wrapped up with my personality, right? And I think photography, which is why I keep talking about it here and bringing it up, one of the reasons for you is like, there are a lot of ESFP photographers and SFP photographers. And that's, I think, a lot of the ability to capture that amazing world that you're seeing, right? Whether it's the world of a person or, you know, the environment, in an angle that other people can appreciate it as well. Because like, you can point out all sorts of physical details that I will never pick up. Never pick up, right?
You can see past your shoelaces.
Screwed. And that's like really latching on to your personality type and utilizing it in a way that is extremely helpful. Like if I think you've done a job like this before, but maybe not to this degree, but like sitting down at a desk all the time. Like if you had to sit down at a desk, like in a cubicle, and there was no window or anything, you would probably go insane.
Right? Oh, I did. I have.
I thought funny. So, right? Yeah.
Just today, like every morning, like I do the what's in my Facebook memories tab to see, because it's all like, I was super active on Facebook like 12, 11, 10 years ago. And so like, that's where all of my posts are. And then for like a whole decade, I didn't touch Facebook.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of fun, because it's a huge blast from the past, and it's a lot of stuff right around the time when we met, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's us at the club, it's me as an English teacher.
Yeah.
And the one today was like, just, it was like, I don't know, I've made like a comical checklist, I guess, where it was like, sit down at my desk, check, right? Like, get up my lunch, check. Wait for 4 o'clock, check, go home, check. Like,
yeah,
because it was that, like, anybody who knows about the English teaching careers of people in Japan, it's, you got, you, like, for me as an ALT, assistant language teacher, I'd have, 4 classes a week, but I had to be there 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
And so I'm just sitting there all day, every single day, because I have to be there. Mm-hmm. And then I had that other job that I got where I needed a visa. And then I met.
That was the one that I was thinking of. Yeah.
That one. Well, yeah. And then yeah. I ended up getting a job for some people who were less than reputable.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to actually be a bodyguard and a driver, but I didn't have a license. But I got the job through a friend. And then this guy was paying for me to get my driver's license in Japan so that I could yeah. be his personal bodyguard and driver.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to get your license in Japan. So it took me like, I think it like
took you a few tries.
Yeah. It took me a few tries, and you have to wait 2 weeks between tries. And so like I would fail. I'm like, all right, well, I'll try next month. And he would pay me a monthly salary to just go to the office and do nothing. And so I would just go and watch TV. And then they got shut down by the police before I ever got my license. So that was good. Yeah.
That's probably good.
So I never had to do the job.
You just had to show up and sit down. But that's,
just showed up and sit down.
Doing that, I'm sure you kind of debated it sometimes. Like, do I really?
It was, well, so I binge watched every TV show that I wanted to watch. I was actually a smoker at the time. So like every 20 minutes I could just leave and smoke and do things outside and go to the store and come back and nobody cared.
Yeah.
It was difficult. It wasn't easy. It was so many people have told me that, like, oh my God, there's like the dream job. You don't have to do anything. That's crazy, dude. And I'm like, no. Why would you ever want to do that? Like, I would do that forever if I could. And I'm like, no.
No.
I would not ever want to do that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a weird job. Yeah, no, but I do. Yeah, no, it was not fun for me. Even though I got paid a full salary to literally do nothing for a few months.
Yeah. Well, and so some people would like that kind of job, right? Because they get to just, you know, daydream or be in their mind or watch, zone out and watch content or whatever it is, or create content. But it's like the stationary aspect, I think, was the difficulty that I would imagine for you, right? Like, okay, it's nice for a little while, but like, just show me a bird or a tree or something, like just something moving in some little way, right? That's not on a screen. A little bit of like,
I honestly didn't have that much of an issue because I could just leave the building anytime I wanted.
Yeah, I think you had to,
and I did, and I left all the time. Because even if I wasn't a smoker, I'm sure I would have left anyway. But that was just a good excuse to leave the building.
Yeah, yeah. When I was a recruiter, a headhunter, I would take constant bathroom breaks because I needed to get away from, actually it was a lot of like pressure and internal stress. I didn't want to pick up the phone and like, I had to lie to people. That was my job. Mm-hmm. Right. And like see who is on the other end of the call. It was awful. It was so like, it just felt like I was punching myself in the heart like constantly. So I was like, I need to just go take a break.
That's the lying part.
Yeah,
the lying part. Worst liar ever, wherever you are. I got my camera inverted, so I don't know where I'm pointing.
I thought you were just
Yeah. Watch him having heart palpitations while we play like card games where he has to deceive people.
Yeah, what was that game called? Werewolf? Was it Werewolf or was it like a similar one?
That's one of them, yeah.
Yeah. So somebody had to lie about their role and
it's him.
Actually, no, but I was pretty good when I decided to be, but afterward I was like, oh God. And like I still think about it every once in a while. Like I lied to my friends about this thing. I was like, just a game.
Yeah, it was funny. I played that game at a party recently. And instantly I was like, does everybody know Matt? Because he's bad at this game. Like, who's Matt?
Legendary.
Yeah.
Let me kind of hit some of these comments and stuff. Green bean casserole. Mm. Yes, I do still offer one-on-one coaching. It's not just for INFPs, but there are a lot of INFPs that come to me for coaching. That you can go to schedule.geekpsychology.com and schedule a free kind of strategy session, like an introductory session that we can figure out what you want, if it's aligned with the things that I do, the things that I offer. And if it seems like something that we can work together to help you get that transformation, get that goal that you want, then we continue from there to actual one-on-one sessions and a package and some other goodies and stuff like that.
Actually, the question from before disappeared before I even answered it in my own words.
About personality type?
The guy asking like how identifying yourself and all that stuff has affected your life.
Okay.
Yeah, that one. Like Matt said, I have not delved deep into this, but because Matt is my best friend and basically brother, like he has, anytime I do have questions about like, or have thoughts or feelings or whatever, and I talk to Matt about it, he uses his knowledge to help me. So I haven't directly gone, hey, like maybe it's this or this or this. I go, hey, Matt, what is it? And he goes, it's this and this and this and this. And then it helps me. So I do it, just not myself.
Yeah.
And it's been on and off, right? Like I've liked it sometimes and I haven't liked it other times. Cause I, like we had that, when we first met, Matt has always been very self-aware of who he is and where he's trying to go, whether it's with Myers-Briggs or just any other things that he's been studying. And I did things without thinking about it and just go. And I was always very exceptional at anything I tried my hand at. And I knew that about myself and I was very proud of that. And that's why I had zero fears of trying anything, because I knew if I tried it and put some honest effort into it, I could get really good at it. And then there were certain aspects of life when we first met and he was like, well, you know why that's that, right? And I went, no. And he's like, well, it's because of this. If you just do this, like you'll increase your percentage of success and this and this and this and this. And as soon as all that went into my brain, I went, it's too much to think about. I don't want to do the math to figure out something that I can just do anyway. And it actually made me worse at some things because I was thinking about it too much. And so that's why, like, even though he's really jumped into the Myers-Briggs and this whole, like, the geek psychology, this everything that he's created, I am sometimes reluctant to really also jump on board because of that fear that was created early on, where I'm like, if I think about it too much, maybe I'll fail or I'll do worse. Because if I just keep going with my eyes like this, I'll do really good.
Yeah.
But then when I do hit walls doing that, I go, Matt, save me. And he does. So it's good. Something. This is why he's my friend.
I think one good word for ESFPs, just as a, you know, just one label, is natural. And you said it a few times within that. It's like, it just came naturally, right? I'm just being me, and things just work out, right? Like I know that if I spend the time doing this, it'll naturally.
Things also really don't work out too, though.
They really don't, but then you've got Corey Luck and bits. Yeah. And it works itself out. Which is another thing, like, I don't want to get too deep into the jargon and stuff of it, but like extroverted sensing is very good at like handling crises and situations of just it knows, like, what do I need to do? Like, what is the next step that I need to do in order to handle like this this thing. And it can seem like luck in some ways. Same with extroverted intuition too. It's very like perceptive of what is going on out there. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to use the brain regions that I need to use, because your brain is always like on this low activated level of just kind of sifting through, like, where's the next stimulus going to come from? What do I need to do? How do I like pounce on that? And one aspect, we don't need to get into it too much, but you said earlier that you'd have to go inside yourself and you don't want to be there. I wrote it down so I could remember. And that's, for me, like within personality type and my journey, like I've learned that, well, I knew this before, but I had more language around it, that for an introvert, the outer world is where all the dragons are and all the scary stuff, right? For an extrovert, it's inside. Like I don't want to go inside and you know, figure out all this stuff that's going on in there. And this is something I hear all the time, like from my wife and stuff too, who's an ENFJ, right? Just like, yeah, like introverts are cool with just dealing with their inner world all the time. But when we have to go extrovert stuff and do stuff in the outer world, it's like there's a lot of stress and stuff through that. But I've learned through personality type that that is like, that is the way. Like you have to do that, right? That's just part of the process. And for an extrovert too, it's like you do all this stuff out there, then you have to come in and find yourself and locate and, you know, understand who you are on a deeper level so that you can do more of the extroverted stuff even better. Like, so that you can be a better photographer, right? You have to go into yourself and understand these different aspects and things like that. I don't know if that made sense, but
I got you.
I said stuff.
With balance, right? Mm-hmm. Words came out your face.
Yeah. Let's see. My mom was talking about my sunburn. Yeah. She's always like, you gotta deal with that.
I do too. Can't have purple legs in the summer.
They were like spongy, which is the grossest thing.
So gross.
And like AJ had to go pick up Obento for me and stuff like that, like from the store, and just like leave it for me because I couldn't move because I was so sunburned. It's bad. I remember walking around out like on my way home for, so I fell asleep. The one I'm thinking of specifically, this was before
it was before I got to Tokyo.
Before you, yeah. I fell asleep on the beach and I had quit my job. I lost my wallet. Well, somebody stole my wallet. And then we decided to go to the beach as a way of like just forgetting about it. Right. And so I fell asleep at the beach, and basically on the way home, I was just so sunburned, and I was wearing a yukata. Right. And everybody was just like looking at me in shock in the station, cause I was just so red and sunburned. And then it just progressed from there. It's awful. And then that was in the middle of getting a crown on my tooth I had to go like for eight different dentist appointments to get a crown on my tooth. And the dentist disappeared as soon as I was like able to walk again. And I went back there and it was gone. There was just no dentist there anymore. I was like, what is this? Sagas.
And in enters Mad Luck.
Yeah, that's my version of luck. Yeah. Let's see. Sorry. We'll go for a little bit longer. Are you still good on time?
Yeah.
Okay. Travis is asking, how has NI Critic played a role in my life? This is specific to my personality type, so I'll just talk a little bit about it. Yeah. So introverted intuition, like the way I explain it is, I call it the visioning mystic as like a character that I play every once in a while, right? That you have within your personality type as well. And it's like, it's looking at this long-term perspective. It's using foresight. It's changing the box that you're looking at the world through, the lens that you're seeing things from, using a lot of metaphor and symbol and things like that. And I personally, like, whether this is fully accurate or not, like, I equate it to the unconscious mind. And through studying a lot of hypnosis, I've gotten a better connection with introverted intuition, and the ability to slow down my idea generation. Like, cause I, like, just like with AJ too, like, he's an ENFP, but there's like a burst of just so many ideas and so many different possibilities. And like, well, this and this, you put them together and you got this other thing and that could be really cool. And it's like very high energy idea generation. Introverted intuition is like, let's meditate on this for a little bit, right? Let's wait for the let's prime ourselves and get the insight to come when it's ready, when everything's kind of congealed and it's ready. For INFPs, there's a lot of like we just assume everything's going to work out bad, right? Cause like it's in this kind of shadowy aspect of ourselves. And it's got a lot of like negative, flavor to it. I don't know what negative flavor is necessarily, if it were a spice.
Frog.
What's the frog? Oh God. I was thinking of that, that Thai spice. Anyway.
Thai spice. Turmeric.
Maybe.
It's not Thai. It's Indian.
That's not. Yeah. Turmeric. Anyway, it's this long-term, like, everything's just going to work out poorly. Right. And I've built a better connection with that, built rapport with it, essentially through having, this is going to sound a little bit weird probably for some, but like having conversations with these characters, like create different characters for these different cognitive functions and have conversations with them and say like, what, how can we get this to work better? Like, what, I see that this is what you want to do, but this is actually like, this is hurting what I want to do with my life. So how can we work together to actually get this to, into the direction that I want? So spending a lot more time meditating, before I had Amy, since Amy's been born, I haven't been able to meditate much, but I've done self-hypnosis as kind of a little hack for that. I don't know if that answers the question, but I hope it does. But for you, like, so introverted intuition plays the, I call it the maverick role. So it's like the one that's, it's on your team. You want it to be on your team, but it often goes in the other direction. It often like pulls you in the other way. Like, it's the polar opposite of extroverted sensing. So extroverted sensing, I call it the adventurer, right? It's the one that's in the moment, in your body, right? In the physical world. The mystic is like the one that detaches from everything, right? And just takes more steps back or like zooms up, like flies above the whole terrain and stuff like that. But like for you, it probably comes out as, if you're in a bad state, if you're like in a really bad way, it'll come out as, assuming the intentions of other people in a very negative way. Does that ring a bell? Okay. I don't. So like in terms of,
I don't know who you're talking to.
I'm talking to you. Sorry.
Oh, I tuned out completely.
I'm looking at you.
I can't. I thought you were talking to the guy. I was like, all right, no, wait for that to be over.
Okay. So
I might want to start again. I was letting you do you.
Yeah, no, I know. I get into my thoughts. So you're naturally in the adventurer character, yeah, right? That's the one that plays a big role in your life, engaging in the moment, being present, being there.
Yeah.
The mystic, this other character, kind of is like, it's like Raphael to your Ninja Turtles, right? It's the one that like, he's like, no, I'm going to go this way. And everyone else is like, come on, this is the direction we want to go. But he starts to cause drama and stuff like that. For an ESFP, it often comes out as like when you get really stressed, or you're drunk or something like that, you would kind of miss or falsely attach predictions on the other person's behavior, right? You say, oh, this person is definitely doing this right now, right? And I don't like it. And it's like taking all of these experiences and kind of funneling it into this is what's going on. This is definitely it. And for your personality type, it has this kind of negative kind of quality in a lot of ways. Of course, you want to bring it onto your team. You want to build better, more rapport with it, like doing yoga or, you know, just going for long walks and in the forest and kind of being surrounded by nature, but also having the time to let that process unconsciously. Mm. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been realizing a lot recently is I've been forcing myself to take these out of my ears, because like I do. Like I'm out in nature all the time. I'm walking all the time. And I have a route right now actually, where it's along the ocean and then it goes up into this like little roundabout that goes to like some ancient cedar tree and it's all spiritual and stuff. But normally I have either audiobooks going and I'm not really in nature. I'm listening, studying and not listening to my thoughts basically. But I've been forcing myself to, like, when I get to the top of the hill and I'm going to this little roundabout, I take them out and I force myself to listen to my thoughts. And they do that all the time with other stuff as well. Like, stressed or not, like, my brain, like, I'll come up with entire business plans, like, in that, like, 1 hour loop. And then I'll put these back in and then I'll get home and I'm like, what the hell did I think about again? I don't remember. But yeah, the drunk is a key ingredient to the negativity for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cause yeah, I'm notorious drunk dialer as well. So,
well, a lot of that comes from in terms of personality type, like you cannot physically get a quick response. You can't get that feedback in whatever situation that is, right? And so you can't get that. There are some, you know, stressors in place or drunkenness in place. And then it's like, well, I can't do that. Let me just do the opposite. And then the mystic like kind of floats up. It's like, hey, I heard you that you want some ideas about where this is going. And it just like kind of supplies you with all this.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's exactly like when you that. Google search, do I have cancer? Well, you're going to get those results that feed that direction that you were searching for, right?
Yeah. Well, exactly that. Like, and that, and with a less eloquently, that's what I was trying to say about like the things I think about, right? Like those business plans that I talk about, those are just like completely different photography routes. Like I'll go up there and then I'll start thinking and like just thinking against everything I'm doing and I'll start, oh, but that won't work out. And then I guess, oh, but I guess I could probably just do this to fix it. And then by the time I'm done that, like I'm like, oh, I think I'll be like a pet photographer now. And then, because that'll be a better option. Because everything that I'm doing right now is bad. It's not going to work out.
Right.
And then I get home and I completely forget everything I thought about.
Is that good?
It's probably good. Otherwise, I would change careers every day.
Yeah.
Like, if I didn't forget about the things that I think about, honestly, I would just be everywhere.
Mm. One thing that's helped me a lot is to just talk to my unconscious mind and say, like, no, not that. This. Like, just kind of coach it. Just say, like, no, we're done thinking about that. That can go over here. I want to think about this. I want to think about successful ways of using, you know, my business plan or whatever it is. Like, and it's like, it's interesting because a lot of people are like, well, that probably doesn't work, but it does. There's just, it's like you need to coach your unconscious mind because all it does is like, it fetches the stuff that it thinks you want. And if you keep saying like, you know, why is my life so bad? Or whatever it is, right? Whatever the the theme is, then it's going to find all the reasons. Why isn't
this working fast enough?
Yeah. Well, because of this, because of this, because you did this, because of, and it's just like supplies that. So how can I get the things that I want? It's way better than why don't I have this stuff? Right. Like, and so just teaching your mind to constantly like, nope, not that way, this way, not that way. It's just course correcting. It's like driving a car, right? You can't just set it and let it go. I mean, automatic cars, we're not going to talk about that, but you know, like you have to adjust every time and you don't freak out every time. You're like, oh, I'm completely off track. No, you just, just readjust it, you know?
Yep. Yeah, that instant gratification is difficult to fight because it's what it really is. That's what it kind of comes down to. Not instant gratification, but like relatively soon gratification.
Or at least just feedback, right?
Or yeah, feedback. There you go. Instant feedback or positive feedback.
Yeah.
Like that, I think that's, I don't know what it has to do with, but I do find quite often that, because of what we talked about earlier, it's like I have had lots of success when I just try my hand at something. Mm-hmm. And so I'll try it and I'll do it and I succeed. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And because I think that happens so often, so early on, now when that doesn't happen, I go, what? But why not? Something's off. Like, what is it? Oh, I guess that just wasn't for me and I'll have to drop it.
Yeah.
I quit very quickly.
I see Indie Kitty, thanks again. Thanks for the donation. Aw, favorite INFP. Mine too. I mean, no. Yeah, cool. Everybody else that's saying hello and commenting stuff in the chat, thank you very much for being here. I'm sure I've missed some questions and stuff along the way. I've been kind of keeping my eye on it. I see about career. Where did that go? I saw that somewhere. Career advice. Thanks again, Andy Kitty. Advice for INFPs. You got to find a way of having self-expression in some form. And like really having it feel meaningful, right? Like I get so many INFPs like coming in for conversations and coaching and stuff. And it's like, I want to feel like me being in the job in that position is necessary. Like it has to be me to be there, right? I have to be the one. And I don't know a better way of like wording that, but like, if it's your creativity, if it's your own self-expression, then it has to be you, right? Like you're kind of hacking that feeling so that if you are creating art or music or, you know, YouTube content or whatever it is, ideas, whatever it is, finding ways of doing that as a career is obviously going to be, I say obviously, is going to be one of the best things that you can do. And that's hard, right? Because it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of showing up. It takes a lot of, there are mundane things that you don't want to do, right? I like doing SEO research and thumbnail design and stuff is not what I want to do, right? But I spend a lot of time. I spend sometimes hours editing like a 15-minute video, right? I like editing, but I don't want to spend that much time doing that, right? I want to create the video. I want to create the content. And I know there are people out there that can edit it, but also I have my own struggles with that too. Right, like I don't feel that I can express it all concisely in the way that I want. Sometimes I need to edit it because I feel that there's like expertise that's being falsely spoken about and stuff like that, and I need to like kind of adjust what I said. But basically, get out there and do something creative, do something that's just kind of makes you excited. And if you can't do it in your normal job right now, like start taking time away from watching Netflix, playing games, stuff like that, and putting it into doing stuff that's going to build a longer term skill and positive benefit into your life. Hope that was helpful.
I like this question. Do you guys think in images or thoughts?
I did see that up there.
Yeah. So for me, I'm 1,000,000,000% visual. Like I see movies and pictures in my head constantly. Just recently, actually, at the gym, I've been playing with not counting with words, but counting by seeing the number. And it's really intense because I'm actually getting to the point where I'm able to count really, really fast once I get into like the 21, 22. Like one thing that I always found was a wall was that I had to say the word in my head to completion before I could say the next word.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So when I'm going 41 and I have to slow down my rep to get the number up. But if I just see the number now, I don't have to say the word, which is really weird. But it came very naturally. Like once I was like, I wonder if I could do that. And then I could, I was like, oh, it was weird. But yeah, 1,000,000% images and videos. Like I can play entire scenarios out in my head effortlessly. And then I come back.
That happened or
that don't happen. I can make them up so vividly that I actually sometimes forget that they didn't happen. Like, oh, I didn't actually do that yet. Like, I completely succeed. Like, oh, yeah, all right. I already lived my life. Like, you ever seen that Rick and Morty episode where he puts the thing on and then he lives like a whole other life all the way to completion. And then he dies of old age and then he takes it off and he's back as a kid. And they're like, where's my family? Where is everyone? It's like, dude, it's just a game. Like, I can do that in my head quite easily.
Yeah, that's a big way of speed reading and stuff like that too, right? It's like to stop sub-vocalization, like just look at the image, just look at the picture, take a little snapshot of it, right? And just keep on moving on. I have a hard time with that. I do think a lot in thoughts. When I was younger, I was definitely more visual in terms of, you know, and I still do this, but like definitely happened a lot more when I was younger, like imagining the teacher with wings and a hat. And like, I could kind of vividly see them in this, you know, different costume or whatever it was all the time. And I would just constantly play with those kind of visuals, the things that I'm seeing out there, but adding kind of fantastical or unique elements to it. But I do notice that I'm very kinesthetic, and very in my thoughts as well. A lot of times it's like a feeling. Like I just have this, you know, this tar pit in my stomach or whatever it is, this red rod going through my spine. Whatever that sensation is or emotion is, I kind of have a physical perception of it that also has usually a color or something attached to it. But that could be because I've been kind of training myself with that. Does that make sense?
I always enjoy, like, when we do like tapping and stuff like that, like listening to your explanations of stuff, because you know you've always used shapes like rods and circles and put it out here, and it's a big, and like I only think of those things, like I only think like that when you tell me to. Like at no point in my mind do I try to associate shapes. Like I don't think of solid, shapes. You like shapes. It's interesting.
I like shapes.
But you describe feelings and like thoughts as shapes, which is interesting to me.
Shapes and colors and textures.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I know. There are other people, and I don't know to what degree you do this in, but like who don't have inner voices. It's all images and videos.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard.
I'm constantly like talking to myself.
Like, I definitely have a voice in my head. I've got multiple voices. I like if I genuinely got checked out, I might get diagnosed with schizophrenia. I just said it the other day. Recently to somebody, like when I meet someone new, like I've lived so many different versions of my own self, right? Like I've lived very different lives at different parts, as most people do, I think. But mine have been very extreme and nothing like the previous one. Like I do a full left turn. I'm like, all right, different life path completely now. And without really thinking about it, like in the explanation of this, I realized that I do have those past versions of myself still in there. And so I referred to them as having those voices in my head still. Like I have all the different versions of Corey up in here and they talk and they tell me to do things.
Tell you to do things. I see. We might want to like, talk a little bit more about that off stream. No, I mean, everybody has different parts, right? These different, it's neurologically activated pathways, right? And then one becomes executive in the prefrontal cortex. And that's the one that is the one that's kind of, that's opening the door when somebody comes to knock, right? Everyone else is kind of on the sofas in the house or down in the bomb shell, the ones that we've kind of like put, you know, pushed down, repressed and things like that, the injured, the invaded states. But we all have these different parts. And this is what I use for a lot of coaching and just my way of doing personality type is personifying the cognitive functions because they are crucial to everybody, right? And so why not find a better way of leveraging these different aspects of yourself and having intentional conversations? Like, what does my mystic say I should do? What does the commander advise me on doing right now? Like, I'm still the one in control of what I'm doing, but getting different perspectives, even if it's like, you know, what would Zorro do right now? Mm-hmm. Right? What would Iron Man do? Right? And just having that little brief conversation opens up new neural pathways. It creates different options, more flexibility. And then you can possibly do something better. Right. And when it's like a dissociative identity disorder or something like that is because those parts are not talking to each other. They don't know about the existence of the other ones. And then one shows up and then the others are just not connected up. Right. But I mean, this happens to everybody. Like, when you go to the, you know, you stand up, you go down to the fridge, you're like, you open the door and you're like, I was going to do something. What was I going to get? Why did I open the fridge? Like, why did I go into this room? It's because one part came up and said, let's go, let's do this. And then by the time you showed up, it was another part that was active and you just.
It wasn't me. That was Patricia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely don't have that. Thank God.
I see. Maybe we'll do just like a couple more if you're cool.
Yeah. I got all day. I'm a self-employed man. I do what I want.
Says hello. Any other introverts feel or know they need alcohol to be social? Yeah, I tend to drink often. But I also don't usually get like drunk. We've definitely had our experiences, right? When things have gone too far in whichever direction. But like, yeah, usually I don't like being not in control of my actions. And I really, really don't like it. But, you know, a little bit of alcohol can kind of lower that inhibition, right? Threshold. And you're like, well, it'll be okay. And really, it'll be okay. Like, you don't need alcohol to actually let you embrace the possibilities of talking to another person. But a lot of times we do feel that it's kind of a necessary step for some people, just so that we can loosen up, lighten up in some ways. How do you feel about alcohol? Are you still not drinking?
I'm taking this year off again. It's weird. So I'm of all the minds, like, I've definitely felt that way, like, but I don't know if it was like, to be social is probably the part that I leave out. Like, yeah. It was more just, that's what you do. Like, social is drinking. It was more of an association the other way. Where it was like, all right, I'm going to go be social now. Ooh, and then drinking. Right?
Yeah.
And I think I did that long enough and made that connection long enough that I ended up flipping them in my mind where it was like, oh, I need to drink before we go out. Yeah. Right? And then I didn't know, right, chicken and egg kind of situation with what was creating what at, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as Matt has pointed out when we first, when we were trying to figure out who I is, as far as the Myers-Briggs goes, right? Like, he kept telling me that I was extroverted. And I was like, what? I don't think so. Like, I need to drink to go out and this and this and this. But then as he was, no, man, you're extroverted. And then I realized very quickly that in social settings, I do. I'm out and about, alcohol or not. Like, I'm the one leading the show, talking to people. Yeah. Like, I was, you know, even our job, which I definitely wasn't drunk at, like, I was the regional trainer. I was the one telling everyone what to do and mm-hmm. not an issue in the world, right?
Yeah.
Thrived in it, loved it. And then in 2018, I actually took it upon myself to quit smoking. And in order to do that, one of the things that I always found, like, I'd tried to quit smoking a thousand times. And the one thing that always brought me back was I get drunk and my inhibitions go out the window and yeah. I smoke. And then yep. I smoke for a few more months and then I try again. And so I went cold turkey on both. I quit smoking and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I managed. So I went all of 2018 without drinking and successfully quit smoking. Don't need to smoke anymore, which is great. But I learned something in that year that was I didn't expect. And it's that I, for the first, I would say, 6 months or so, I didn't go out. I refused to go to bars or clubs or anything or hang out with anybody because I was terrified of smoking again.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I just didn't do it. And in Japan, unlike other countries, smoking indoors is allowed, right? So you go to a yeah. club, you go to a bar, and it's just cigarette it smoke in your face yeah. all the time. And I was afraid of that. Anyway, so 6 months went by, and I was like, all right, well, I don't have any need or want to smoke anymore. Like, I'm good on that. I'm gonna take baby steps back into the real world. Mm-hmm. And so I went out. I started going to bars like that we have at our work. God, you're over here. It's so weird. At our old job.
Am I?
Every 6 weeks, we would meet up for this big training session. And then after the session, everybody would go out and hang out and socialize and drink. Mm-hmm. And I started going to those sober. And everybody's pretty cool. Nobody was like, dude, what are you not drinking? Like, yeah, they're yeah. all nice people. It was a good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just as much fun, if not more. Like I then discovered the aspect of watching drunk people. I was like, what is this what I've been doing the whole time? Like, am I just watching me?
Yeah. All different versions of yourself. And,
right. And it took, I don't know, two or three times of just going out, knowing I'm not going to drink, going to like dance clubs, like
yeah.
from like 11 PM until 6 AM.
Yeah.
Dead sober. Like, I didn't think that was even possible.
Yeah,
and it
yeah.
was so fun. Mm. And it was really weird. It was very, like, mind implosions. Anyway, so, yeah, I don't. I definitely don't. Mm. But I didn't know that until I tried not drinking in social situations.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and then again, this year, just for productivity purposes, I'm not drinking again because it's... I'm at my parents' place again, transitioning back through Canada. My parents are both retired. They live the most relaxed life ever. And drinking and weed is a common staple in this house. Mm-hmm. And so it's so easy to go, oh, yeah, I'll have a glass of wine with you. And then boom, evening's gone. Next morning's a little slow.
You pay for it the next day. Yeah.
Pay for it the next day. And so I'm just, until my photography business is thriving, I'm not going to drink again.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Why not? It doesn't matter. Yeah. Just, it might be rough though, because I have two weddings this year. You see how that goes. But I know that I'll have fun anyway, which is good news. I'm glad I've done it before. If I hadn't done it before, I might give in. So the answer is no.
Yeah. If you want, like, I'll just, we can work on something with that later, like off stream and stuff, like, to make it easier to not have those triggers and stuff on those events. Cool. I don't see any more questions, and I heard Amy up running around. As I said to you before stream, she's sick.
So I'm gonna go say hi. Fever.
Yeah, hopefully she doesn't have a fever anymore. Anybody got a last question or anything like that? I see we're at like an hour and 20. I appreciate everybody for showing up, for communicating to us directly, and also, you know, having a nice chat between all you guys. Hopefully we were able to answer some of your questions. I think we got maybe all of them or most of them, and that you got to see maybe a different perspective on INFPs or ESFPs, and possibly how cool it can be to be a friend of both. How to talk to strangers to build friendships. That'll be the last one. Okay. Well, is that cool? How do you talk to strangers?
This guy?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, I think we kind of covered that at the beginning. I try to find something that I'm also interested in, because as I said before, like, if I'm not interested in it, I can't invest in that conversation. But I'm also like, I think over time, dealing with a lot of people, like, both my professions have put me in a position where I have to deal with a lot of strangers, right? Like, as the trainer of an English school, and a photographer of models, I meet a lot of people that I'd never in a million years would talk to. And so finding a common ground through questions, right? So I know what I like, right? Mm-hmm. And as Matt mentioned before, like, it's what was it? Like, trying to find what do they like and mm-hmm. all that stuff. And if I can find something that I like and they like, even if it's a little gray area, then I could talk forever, because it's my, like, I like to feel genuine when I'm talking to someone. Because if I feel, what is it? Is the word disingenuous? Not genuine?
I think so.
Ungenuine? Yeah. Reverse genuine? Opposite genuine?
Fake.
Fake genuine? Fake. There you go. I know it. And I can't have that conversation. Like, it's eating my soul as I'm having that conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And you got to find that point. And not everybody has a point. Like, you can't connect with every single human. There is no magical thing that you can do, right? Some people you don't vibe with, and that's the way it is. It sucks. I hate being in a room with someone that I have nothing to talk about. Nothing. Mm. Yeah.
I think
there's me.
Yeah, I think there's, I don't know, maybe this is my personality type too, but there is something that you could find to connect with anybody, but it's like, how much time do you want to spend searching for that? Right? Like, there's gotta be some connection with all the different possibilities, all the different experiences and stuff like that. But yeah, like, is it blocked behind a wall that you have to, like, you know, climb over and stuff like that? Or, like how defensive is the person, or how willing to share things are they, and are you in the right mood and state for it? And there's a bunch of stuff that goes into it.
I think the thing I missed out in that question actually is the build friendships part. I don't think I've ever tried to build friendships in my life. It is for me, all of my closest friends, like I'm wildly picky about the people I let in my inner circle, Matt being one of four on the planet. Like, and that's literally global. Japan, LA, Vietnam. That's it. Canada. So I got three friends. I got hundreds of acquaintances and people that I care about, but they're not friends.
Sure.
But I've never felt like I needed to build my friendship with Matt. Like it's very natural, and we share enough that I think we complement each other's personalities enough, right? Like there are many, many times, like I guess maybe what I look for subconsciously in a friend is something I'm missing, right? Like you complete me, like that, you know? Like it's because it is that, just like I said earlier, it's like I'm not totally delved into the Myers-Briggs, but when I have questions, I go, Matt, you have the answers. What are they? Right. So I don't need to know the answers specifically. Like, and there's many, many, many more things, but to keep it kind of on this topic, where I definitely run to Matt and go, Matt, fix, like, tell me, how do I do that part of the thing that I don't know? And then I have AJ, our other friend, who's got very similar, not similar things. And
he's an EF,
Ben, to tell everybody. The intellectual we talked about earlier. So I don't try to build, like, I don't try to become friends with people. Like, I'm happy to be acquaintances and I'm happy to be nice and socialize with people. But when it comes to friends, like, I lived in Tokyo for 5 years before I met you guys, and I didn't have a single friend, not one. 5 years, I had no people that I went, that's my friend. And then I met Matt, AJ, and Rob all at the same time, and I was like, ooh, those are my friends.
Yeah.
And it was effortless.
It was. Yeah, it was a very interesting situation. I guess from my side, as I mentioned before, just pretending very congruently that the other person is the most interesting person in the world, and focusing on them and being curious about them. Curiosity is the key that unlocks the model, as they say in NLP. And it's like, if you're curious enough, you can solve anything, right? I think. And in this case, it's to develop some sort of bond and rapport and connection with another person. If you go in there thinking like, oh God, who's this joker? You know, like I got to talk to this person now. You're not going to enjoy it. They're not going to enjoy your company, and it's not going to be a fun situation. So like, if you have the underlying thought and thread that there's something about this person that I can connect with on some level, and we can have a great conversation, or we can build some sort of friendship out of that perhaps, or even if it's just being an acquaintance or whatever it is. I think it's going to serve you well. Yeah, I'm just keeping that underlying thread. If you do have to work on it, I don't know if that's a good sign for a friendship. Maybe.
It's, I don't know. Well, now that you say that out loud, thinking about what we were talking about before, right? It's like I do go through life very naturally, and I wouldn't like to think about building friendships. I would like them to come naturally.
Yeah.
But just like a lot of other things, that is also a downfall that I have. And a lot of things, like I didn't study a lot in school because I was like, well, I don't want to have to figure out how to do this. I just want to know. And friendship could definitely fall under that same thing. Like, now that you say that, I do guess you could build a friendship. It's just not something I would do.
I think a lot of INFPs think about it as building a friendship and finding and creating this connection. That's kind of labor inductive, inducive. It takes effort. Because it is, it's in the outer world. We got to deal with other people. And there's all of our, you know, we see so many different facets of ourselves. And we're like, are we good enough to be friends with this person? Are they going to hate me if I say this thing, or if I open up about, you know, whatever my thoughts are and stuff. And, I think we could take a little bit of the advice from your type as an ESFP and other people too, of just let it happen. Like, just put yourself in the situation that's going to allow it to happen, and maybe don't think about it so much. I mean, yes, you do think about it, but not in this, the way that I'm talking about, of like preemptively trying to figure it out before engaging.
Yeah. Then you got a journal and all your friends like, oh, today I talked to Matt. He likes apples. I'll remember that he likes
34.5 minutes. His eyes moved this way when,
I think he likes me, but I'm not sure. I guess that's a journal. it's a diary. It's not.
It's what it is. Anyway. All right. Definitely going to stop right here. We got an hour and a half. So thank you very much, everybody. Thanks for showing up. Corey, do you want to tell people where they can find you? Actually, I did this. I did a thing.
Ooh, it's
I hope
me.
That's correct. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Cool. Yeah, check out Corey at CoreyRaven_official.
Instagram. Yeah, the Instagram one is just my personal website, my personal Instagram that I'm kind of now using more.
Okay.
As I've moved back to Canada, I'm going to start putting a lot of my landscape photography now that I'm not allowed to talk to people because of COVID. I do have another one that's all the studio model work that I did in Tokyo, but I'm not really adding to it anymore. So it's all really old content. And my website's actually a sales website. So if you want to hire me, go look at it.
It takes great pictures.
If you don't want to hire me, it's just a sales page. It's not a portfolio.
We have a bunch of your pictures.
As we know, I'm happy to talk to people, and if we naturally become friends, we'll be friends. If we don't, it's too bad.
Sure. Cool. Well, thanks for being here. Thanks for taking time to talk to me. I'm glad, actually, like, this is, it's like, I want to talk to Corey again. But we have like these long, normally our conversations are even longer than this.
Yeah.
And I needed to set a date for it. I'm glad it worked out that we actually finally did this again, which we've been talking about for a while too. So.
Yeah, I was actually kind of curious, because the last time we did this was, what, like 4 years ago?
Three, yeah.
When you were at your house. Over there. Yeah. Drinking and doing it. Like, it was a fun, giggly time. A little spontaneous. And so, like, I'm not drinking this year, but, like, pot's legal in Canada. So, like, I definitely have some THC ingestion devices around.
We don't have those.
I wonder if I'll need to, like, get one of those. Like, is he going to be drinking? Is it, how professional is this?
7:30 in the morning. I'm still.
Can't get. You said it was Sunday, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Just kidding. But yeah, no, I didn't. I even told my mom, I was like, I might need a joint. I don't know.
No, we don't need that.
It's good that I didn't.
Neither do our sponsors. Okay.
Different life. More professional than 4 years ago.
Possibly. All right, everybody. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening, and I hope you got something out of it. I know that by listening to this podcast, it means that you're ready to take your life to the next level, and I'm so excited to help you do it. Whether you're struggling with anxiety, lack of motivation, or you're just looking for your spark and purpose, I have many courses and a one-on-one coaching service available to you to help you get out of your own way and be happy. So head on over to geekpsychology.com to get started. See you there.